Can I tell you this? The Bible says one phrase, and it has nothing to do with what I'm preaching on tonight. I'm actually going to Ezekiel, so go ahead and get your way there, all right? And we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 37, Tanya. But there's a verse in the Bible that I love that we don't do enough of, and it's called this: let your light shine. Let your light shine before men that they can see your good works and glorify God that's in heaven. In other words, there should be so much goodness coming out of you that people want to know why. Does that make sense? So much realness coming out of you that people want to know why. Why are they so different? Why are they so blessed? Can I say this tonight? Our light is found in who Jesus Christ is. Do you understand that? But have you realized that different vessels shine light differently? You notice that? How many of you have a lamp in your house? Anybody have that? Have you noticed that that provides a different light than the lights that are on your ceiling? You want kind of a dim light, you flip your lamp on, right? There's different kinds of light switches, right? All different kind of vessels give different kind of light. Can I tell you, your story, your talents and your abilities will cast that light differently than someone else. None of our lights shine the same, but they should all end up in the same result. Does that make sense? My story is not your story, so don't try to make your story mine. And I'm not going to try to make mine yours. Don't try to compare my faith and your faith. And don't try to be what I am, and I'm not going to try to be what you are. Let's just be who God's created us to be and live the story that God has given us, testify to who God has been to us, and not worry about what anybody else thinks or how it compares to someone else. Because can I tell you this? The world needs to see that God is fitting in every scenario, not just one. You know, I sat with someone today who does not believe in God and is very adamant about it. And I asked them to attend something and they said no. The only thing they'll come to is the meeting they have with me. And we've been meeting for months. Every Sunday I meet with them. Matter of fact, they're the longest running meeting I've ever had. And they don't believe in God, yet they still come for that meeting. You know, and I tell them, I'm not going to ask you to come to church. I'm not going to ask you to believe in God the way that I believe in God. I'm just going to ask you this. Will you find out why you don't believe in Him? Will you at least test the reason of why you don't? Because if you can tell me a good reason of why you don't believe in God, then I'll leave you alone. And they're like, well, I don't know why I don't believe in Him. I just have a hard time believing in Him. Well, that's not good enough for me. All right? Tell me why you don't. Because if you don't know why you believe what you believe, then what you believe is not worth believing in. That makes sense? Now that goes for you that do believe in God. If you don't know why you believe in Him, then what you believe carries no weight. Man, Paul said, I know who I believe in. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep those things that I have committed to Him until that day. The day, what day is he talking about? The day that I die or the day that I see Him? I know who I have believed. Man, that needs to be your testimony. And if that's your testimony, then your light is radiating. And when your light is radiating, people cannot help but see God through you. Is that it? You know, how do I show the world God? You show God, the Bible says they see your good works. They see good things happening in your life. Me and Allison were talking, at one point we were talking about how we have a misconception of humility, where we believe humility puts you above me, humility puts you in front of me. No, humility gives you the same rights and the same opportunities that I have been given. It's giving you the same grace that I have, the same mercy that I have, the same blessings that I have. In other words, humility means taking what God has blessed you with and letting it shine so that people can see it. Humility actually puts you out in front of people, not behind them or underneath them. It puts you out to show an example. Can I get someone to agree with me on this tonight? Everything I am is because of who Christ is in me. Anybody else believe with that? Everything I have is because of who Christ is. You know, and I look at that and it doesn't mean that I am nothing. It means that I have made enough bad decisions that I should be nothing. But I am not nothing tonight. I am somebody because of who I belong to. Because of who He's made me. Does that make sense? So let's look at something, and maybe you've heard of this. Matter of fact, we sang the song about it tonight. Ezekiel chapter 37 is about one thing, the dry bones, right? How many of you have heard about these dry bones before? We're going to look at them. Now, if you're a visitor with us, on Sunday nights, by the time we get here, I sit down, mainly because my legs are aching. I've been going all day, 100 miles an hour, and I just like to, you know what, relax in Jesus. That's what I call it. This is my relax in Jesus time. You know what happens when I find that I can just kind of take a deep breath, sigh of relief, and just let God talk, let God speak? You know what happens? I learn something. And so tonight, I want you to learn something. I want you to go a little bit deeper. All right? Your life should have a purpose. You say, well, yeah, my life has purpose. Great, what is it? That's the question. What is it? Well, I don't know. Well, then, does your life have purpose? You know, I shared with somebody today, we came to this conclusion. What is the number one thing you have to do to go on vacation? What is the first step? Huh? Nope. What? Planning what? Hey, let's say it again. Where are you going? If you do not have a destination, you don't know how to get to where you're going. Am I right? Like, if it's coming up, vacation season. I'm going to say that. I know it's freezing cold outside. Spring is coming. It's like 9 weeks away, all right? So keep that in mind, okay? It's around the corner. But for all of you that are complaining, you've only really had 2 days of winter. I'm just going to say that, all right? But the thing is when I look at it, I realize that, man, I want to go on vacation. You know what has to happen for me to be able to go on vacation? I got to know where I want to go. And if I want sunshine, and I want a tan, and I want water, and I want the soothing sounds of waves crashing against the shore, and I want sand between my toes and then in uncomfortable places, then where do I need to go? The beach. How many of you say that? I need to go to the beach. I can go to Florida. I can go to the West Coast. I can go to the East Coast. I can splurge and go to the Caribbean. I can go to Hawaii. But I need to get somewhere that has a beach. And in my mind, Dandridge Lake does not count. All right? Does that make sense? All right. If I'm going on vacation, I'm getting away from the normal. But I set a destination. You know, we kind of compare that today to marriage. If your marriage doesn't have a destination, you're not going to know how to get there. You're not going to know how you're going to get to where you're supposed to be. In other words, what's your goal? What's your purpose? What are you supposed to be doing? That's number one. And then guess what? You figure out how you're going to make it. See, if you plan a destination for your vacation, the next question is, how are you going to get there? Are you going to drive? Are you going to fly? Are you going to take a cruise? There's a lot of different options, but you can't explore any of those options until you know where you're going. If you get in your car and say, I'm going on a vacation and here we go. Have you noticed that most of those trips turn out very stressful and you end up turning around and going home? Anybody ever tried that? I'm going to be spontaneous today. I'm going to just get in the car and drive. Next thing you know, you get a ticket. Next thing you know, you got a flat tire. You're frustrated. Anybody ever had that kind of a day? It's like, I just want to get away and escape. Listen, if you're not living your life on purpose for a purpose, then you are merely existing in life and you are not living life at all. You are coasting through, and we've said it 1,000 times. If you are coasting, you are going downhill. Only coasts when you're going downhill. Nothing ever coasts uphill. Can I tell you what it takes to get uphill? It takes determination. It takes some fight. It takes some purpose. It takes loving on purpose, doing things on purpose. Can I tell you this? You got to, in your marriages and in your life and in this church, we've got to love with a purpose for why we're loving. Why do we love? The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. But the truth is why am I going to put an effort out in love? Because I know that by planting a seed, I'm going to reap a harvest, right? Well, Ezekiel, they're in this moment, and all of a sudden, God shows up and says, we're going to have church. And he says, here's how we're going to have church. You're going to go to all these dead bones. Now, imagine this, okay? How many of you feel like God's put a song in you, you need to sing it? All right? How many of you feel like that? Now, look, raise your hand, okay? I'm not going to ask how many of you can actually sing, all right? But I'm going to say, all right, at least you got something. How many of you feel like, okay, you know what? There's a sermon that God's put in your life or a testimony you need to share. Anybody got that? You ever been sitting in church and all of a sudden somebody's preaching and you're like, oh my goodness. Oh, this is a very good point. He's not saying it. She's not saying it, but this would be a very good point. Okay, can I tell you what's happening? You're being called to do something. And I tell people, keep writing. Keep writing. Next thing you know, you got a book. Next thing you know, you got a sermon. Next thing you know, and then when that's done and God's completed that thought, you know what you need to do? Get up and tell it. You need to speak it. But let's imagine that in your heart you say, I got a song to sing. Oh man, I got a message to preach. And all of a sudden God says, okay, good. This is your moment. This is your day. Let's go to the graveyard. And let's put you in the graveyard and nobody else is going to be there. And God says, I want you to prophesy. I want you to speak. I want you to sing. I want you to tell these dead people what it is that I'm trying to tell you. Now, how many of you would be like, well, that's kind of a bummer. That's not how I saw that going, you know? You know, you ever had that first date that you had high expectations for? You get on the date and you're like, that is not how I planned it. You know, I didn't expect for that to happen. I remember trying to impress a girl, and when you first start dating, guys know that that's when you're supposed to get the door, pay the bill, and all those other things. It seems like somehow the more we get comfortable with that relationship, we forget what got us into that relationship in the first place. I don't need any women saying amen, but it is the truth. You know, we lose our chivalry, if you would, right? You know, the thing is guys, listen, they should always be treated as queens from beginning to end. They should be the first and foremost. If they're not, then you're not the man you need to be. That's it. It's not that they're not doing something. It's you're not doing what you need to do. But anyway, I had this girl. I had this truck. You know, I was very proud of it. I bought it new. I was all excited. And I took this girl on a date. And so we pull up to drop her off to take her home. Now, I was always taught you never let a girl go to the door alone at night. You know what I mean? You walk her to the door. Anybody else taught those things? All right. Okay, so I'm going to do that. Well, here's where pressure comes in. I pull up. The driveway's full. So now I've got this going through my mind. Where do I park? So I park in front of the house, naturally, right? Well, as I'm parking, I look over, and her mom and dad and grandma and two brothers are standing at the door. And I'm like, well, this is weird, all right? It's like, I don't know these people. This is my first date, but I better get this right. So I get out of the truck. It's been a good date, and we're having a good time, and I'm walking around, and I got eye contact. I mean, me and this girl, you know? I remember her name. I'm looking at her, and I'm like, hey, this is great, and I'm trying to act all happy and pretend I don't see the family. But what I didn't really see is that when I pulled over to the side of the road, my truck had straddled a ditch. And so as I'm walking around the front of my truck, I'm looking at her, and I disappear into the ditch. I mean, boom, flat on my face. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is terrible. So I get up, and you know, you don't know what to do. You're awkward, so you just laugh at yourself, right? If the world's going to laugh at you, you might as well join in, right? So I'm laughing at myself, and I open her car door, and I take her by the hand, and she's walking me in, and I'm turning around, and I'm trying to divert attention away from her family, who's all laughing at me, and making fun of myself, and I'm pointing at the ditch. And what I did not know is that there were trees in that front yard. And as she is pulling me towards her family, I'm turned around backwards. And so I turn back around to catch a branch right there in my throat. It takes my feet, keep going. They go high. I fall down. And I'm like, this is over. You know, it's like, there's no way. Needless to say, she's not the girl I married. All right, that's the thing. It didn't go as planned. That was one of those moments that's just like, that is not how I saw that going. I saw that going up to where her mom loved me, you know? Her parents thought I was the greatest thing. Instead, you know what I am to that family? I wonder if sometimes they look at each other and say, you remember that idiot you dated that one time? To make matters worse, as I'm getting back in my truck, naturally I'm ready to leave, all right? Somehow, I forget that there's a ditch. And I take off. And half of my truck falls in the ditch. And now I'm stuck. But they're not at the door this time. They've already let me leave. I'm already a past memory. I had to go ring the doorbell and ask them to come help me get my truck out of the ditch. It's like, listen, it's not bad enough that I fall in it, that I run into your tree. Now I'm stuck. Please help me. I am dying for this date to end, but you got to help me, you know? I believe that Ezekiel had one of those moments. God's saying, okay, you prophet, let's do something. All right? Let's go preach a powerful sermon. Let's bring Israel back to life. Let's deliver a nation. All right. Here's how I'm going to teach you how to do it. You're going to stand in front of a bunch of dead bones. And that's where we're going to read. Read with me if you would. Chapter number 37, okay? Verse number 2. Now, Tanya, I didn't give her my scripture, so she's going to try to keep up with me, okay? I'm going to read fast. Tanya, just go with me until I'm done, okay? If not, write this down, read it later, okay? If you're on Podbean, the screen doesn't matter, you can't even see it, all right? So here's the thing. Verse number 2 says this. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. I've heard a lot of preachers preach on this, okay? But there is one common theme that I think is so true. This very, very, very closely describes the church as we know it today. There are a bunch of dry services out there, are there not? bunch of dry worship that means nothing. A bunch of people that have the words to say, but they don't have the heart to back it up. All right? Can I tell you this? Not you. We will not allow it. Not me. You will not allow it. You know what? If we're going to say we love, we might as well put the effort in. It's a whole lot easier to actually do it than to lie about it and try to pretend we can do it. Have you noticed that? It's a lot easier to brush your teeth than to pretend that you brushed your teeth. It's a lot easier to just wash your hands than to pretend that you washed your hands. And I know you've done it at some point in your life. You've turned the water on just so they could hear it, and you stood there, and you counted in your head, all right? How many of you say, I've done it, all right? You counted in your head, and then you made sure they heard you either grab the towel or grab the paper towels out of the thing. Do not lie to me. You've done it in public bathrooms at Walmart, and probably because you didn't want to touch the faucet. Let's just be real. We've done it, all right? But I believe in churches, we've had these moments to where we feel like by showing up, it makes us something. By showing up and sitting by somebody, it proves we love. Can I tell you this? It's a whole lot easier to have church than it is to fake church. It's a whole lot easier just to be who you are than to try to be something you're not. And I believe that in our lifetime, we are seeing this delusion. An illusion that Satan is painting. That says you're okay by where you are today. No, no, no. You're only made okay by what is healing you and touching you and breathing into you the life that you need today. These bones were dead and dried out. Verse number 3 goes on and it reads this. It says, then he asked me, all right, son of man, can these bones become living people again? And the Bible says, O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. To me, that's the church cop-out, all right? You know, can God heal people? Oh, well, God knows. No, 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 no. God not only knows, he's told you he heals people. God not only knows, but he's told you he has a plan for your life. God not only knows what he's wanting to do in you, he has told you, no doubt, at some point in your life, God has given you the destination of where he wants to take you. You've either decided to find out how to get there or you have sat there complaining because it didn't come easy. All right? Can I tell you this? Do you think that God keeps secrets from us? Sure. There are things that God doesn't want you to understand. But when it comes to his will, he does not hide himself from you. God wants you to know him. He wants you to experience him. And I believe he was looking for the answer, oh, yes, God, I know you can, instead of the answer, well, God, you know the answer to that. Can I tell you this? There are things that you know that God can do, and it's not that God's not wanting to do them, it's you're not allowing God to do them in your life. Let's just call it for what it is. And all of a sudden, God says to him in the next verse, he says, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to speak a prophetic message. All right? I want you to speak through these bones, and I want you to say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. Now, can I tell you this? There are days in my life, and sure enough, there are days in yours, that I don't want to be who I'm created to be. All right? In other words, let us put it this way. There are days I wake up and I don't want to be a pastor. All right? How many of you have jobs that you wake up and you don't want to do it? Anybody like that? All right? Am I the only one? All right? I have to admit it with my words. You can at least give me a hand. All right? All right? Stick it in the air. How many of you wake up and say, you know what? I don't want to be married today. All right? We're looking. We're looking to who needs marriage counseling later. All right? Just... It's easy to do it when your husband's not here. All right, here's the thing. You ever woke up and wished that you weren't a parent? No, you say, never, liar, liar. The first night that little screaming baby kept you awake, you thought to yourself, what did I get into? All right, Jimmy, am I right, buddy? All right, no comment. Our guitar player, him and his wife just had a baby last week, and we're thankful for them, and they're excited. But Jimmy told me, he said, I haven't had a baby in my house in 27 years. You know, and I'm like, hey, Jimmy, you're going to need help. You know what I mean? You're going to need help. All right. You say, how do you know that? Because he's old? No, because I've had a baby. Right. Anybody else? Anybody else have a baby that when somebody else has a baby, you say, oh, God, help him. You know what I mean? Now, does that mean you don't love your kids? Not at all. I love Lincoln with every breath in my body. But some nights it'd be nice to be able to go on a date without having to worry about how he is, or even worse, having to worry about the babysitter, right? You know what I mean? Like, is he wearing the babysitter? It'd be nice sometime. But the truth is this, listen. There are days in my life, and days in your life, that we don't want to be who God has made us to be. And there are times in our life that we don't want to do what God has asked us to do. Now let's just be real and say this. It's in those moments where we feel weak that it's the most vital and most important that we carry out the calling in our life. Because it's in those moments that either your life hangs in the balance, your spirituality hangs in the balance, or someone else that you're going to come in contact with, their life hangs in the balance. And in that moment, Satan wants to dry it up. Satan wants to make you think that nobody cares about what you have to say. There's times that I stand up and preach and I feel like nobody wants to listen. You know what the truth is? If they didn't want to listen, you wouldn't be here. You know, I'm not going to let Satan convince me of something totally opposite that God has already proven to me. How many of you know that you are where you're supposed to be in life right now? Would you slip your hand up? I'm married to who I need to be. I'm the parent to who I need to be. I'm called. I'm living in the career I need to be. Now, not everybody can do that. Can I tell you this? If you're the person that's maybe dry right now and you don't know what God's going to do, then let us speak this prophetic message to you today. The breath of God is about to breathe into you and you're going to see what God's going to do in your life very soon. Now look at this. Go on to verse number 5. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I like this word. Look. Look. In other words, open your eyes. I am going to put breath into you and make you alive again. Man, this is one of my favorite verses when I mess up. This is one of the favorite verses. You ever said the statement, it took the wind out of my sails? It took the breath. It's like my chest caved in. You ever had that moment? Man, isn't it awesome when God shows up and says, hey, listen, I'm going to put breath back into you and I'm going to make you alive again. Can I tell you something? I believe that the world needs to hear this message again. Man, we might live in the age where faith is dying, but I still believe that the breath of God can come sweep this place and change it all in a moment. You know, matter of fact, can I go out on a limb here? And I firmly believe this. I biblically believe this. It's not my opinion. I can back it up with Scripture. You say, why do you say that? Because if you're going to come argue this point with me, you better bring the Bible with you, okay? All right, so here's the point. I believe that before the end, tribulation, return of Jesus Christ, Him establishes His kingdom, there has to be, biblically based, a worldwide revival to where the gospel of Christ is taken to every tribe and every tongue. I believe it. You know why? The Bible says that He will not return until everyone has heard. Now, you know what I think? When everybody says, we're living in the end times, I'm like, all right. Now, you say, what? Yeah, I'm like, all right. You know what that means? I get to be a part of a movement to where God comes back and says, I'm going to bring you back to life. But can I tell you this? Those bones come back to life because of what God can do, not because of what the bones can do. Churches come back to life because God gets back in them, not because people get in them. You say, well, hey, our church will do great if we're just thriving, if we got 5,000 people. Can I tell you this? You can be a dead church with 5,000 people. Well, my bank account would be thriving if it had $5,000. Can I tell you? You can be totally broke with all the money in the world at your fingertips. You can have nothing. You know what? You know what I believe determines everything? How much of God you have. You say, well, how do I know how much of God I have? It's easy. As much as you want. That's it. As much as you desire. God will give you as much of Himself as you desire to have. God will give you as much of His power as you want. God will show you and reveal you as much knowledge as you desire. You say, well, I want to see miracles in my life. You know how many miracles you'll see? As many as you want to see. You say, well, I want to see them all. No, 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 listen. Your words can say something totally different than your body saying. You ever figured that out? You ever had that person tell you they love you and then find out that after that breath they talked bad about you to somebody? You ever had that? You ever thought that somebody was going to be beside you for the rest of your life and then walk out a door? You ever had a best friend that no longer you're in contact with? You know, can I tell you this? People change all the time. But the only consistent thing in our lives is this fact. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I tell you this? We need to live with a purpose, knowing that our lives are here today because God intends to use our lives to bring someone's life back to life. Does that make sense? To bring someone who's bound by an addiction or a weakness or somebody who's given up on faith back to life. You know what I told the person I was talking with today? The same thing I tell every atheist I meet. If you will let me, if you will give me the opportunity, I'm going to prove that God exists to you without using the Bible. I won't use one verse of Scripture. But if you'll give me the time, I will take science alone. You can give me any scientific book you have. You can give me any theory that you have heard and that you believe. And I will use that theory to prove God's existence to you. You say, how can you be so confident? Because there's one verse in the Bible that I do know that they don't have to know I know. And it is this. God says, I am in everything. And no one has an excuse to say they do not know me. Because even if they do not know of me, they have seen me in everything. Man, I look at that and I'm like, okay. Give me a rock, I'll prove God exists. Give me 5 minutes and I'll prove He exists. You know why? Because I believe God is that powerful. I believe God can take any circumstance and use it. You know, I've said it to you before. He used a donkey to speak in the Bible, did He not? He used a rooster to get somebody's attention in the Bible. I tell people all the time, if He can use those kind of animals, He can use you. You know, the thing is He can use me. You know, the world has a certain name for a donkey, right? And I've heard a preacher even say it with boldness. If God can use one Jack, He can use another one, all right? And that's the thing. Hey, listen, how many of you understand this? That it doesn't matter if God takes you to a graveyard. It doesn't matter if God has you standing alone. It doesn't matter if any other bodies are around you. If God says sing, the person that needs to hear it will hear it. And if God says speak, the person that needs to understand those words will get them. And if God says, you better tell them that they're about to come back to life. You don't even have to know who's dead. God can bring them back to life today. I believe it. Now you're saying, well, Brother Josh, he's talking about dead people. Now I was going to read the rest of the chapter, but for your sakes, and because I trust you, I'm going to let you do that later. The Bible talks about how God goes back and forth and He says, look, this is what's going to happen. He said, prophesy to him. And then I'm going to skip down to a few verses later, and we're going to close with these thoughts tonight. I love it. Read with me if you would, Ezekiel chapter 37. Tanya, I want you to skip down to verse number 11. Then He said to me, son of man, these bones that are now alive, by the way, all right, you want to change the world. Can I tell you this? Don't try to change the world with people who have never had a problem. All right? People ask me all the time, who do you look for leaders? I don't look for perfect people. Ever. People that have never had a problem do not know how to lead. You know why? They don't know what it's like to be broken. And how can you lead broken people if you've never experienced the hardship? Man, I love this. He brings a whole army. You want to change the world? Bring somebody that the world has given up on with you and show them how God has changed that life. And I'll guarantee you, people will start believing. Can you imagine? I would have loved to have been Ezekiel. And I would have loved to have said to these dry bones that are now standing. And all of a sudden, one little wind comes by and they get muscles and tendons. I'd have been like, Facebook, click, look at this. Wouldn't you? And then all of a sudden, a next breath comes by and the Bible says they got flesh and skin. And then God said for them to go back to their homes. Man, can you imagine if today, grandma who's been dead showed up with me to tell you about how good God is? Would you listen? I'm sure. You know what? If we told people, hey, look, I once was an alcoholic. I'm not anymore. Man, I once was the worst with my finances. And now guess what? I can live on a budget. I once had nothing and I've made something out of my life. Oh, no, no, no. It wasn't me. God changed me. You know what I love is when people can stand up and testify. Not to the goodness of themselves, but to the goodness of God. To when we see people that were dead who are alive again, living in God's Word. You know what I want? I want to be a part of a church of people that were once dead in their sins and trespasses of sins, but have been made alive through Jesus Christ. How many of you say, I'm part of that crowd? I've been made alive through Jesus. Now look at this. It says, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. In our day and time, it'd be like, hey, guess what? These people represent the church, God's chosen ones. Now look, it could represent America. It could represent our home. And he said, this is what it is. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Man, I've heard that a lot lately. I've heard people say, if God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for their sins, then he is going to have to apologize to them if they don't destroy America. Can I tell you, that's not the God I serve. God is not out to destroy America. God is out willing to give grace and mercy to those who have rejected him and ran from him, just like he gave grace and mercy to you. Verse number 12 goes on and says this. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Oh, my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, oh, my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I like this verse. Can we make this our anthem? Verse 14, and we'll close with it tonight. It says this, I will put my spirit in you and you will live again. And return home to your land, then you will know I, the Lord, has spoken, and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. Does your life scream that today? Does your life say, I have been restored, I have been remade, I am no longer bound by my mistakes, and I am no longer bound by who I used to be. I am today who I am. Why? Because God did something in my life, and nothing can take me back to the way I used to be. Now, how many of you are like that today in your life? Man, I don't want to go back. You know, the days that I don't want to be married, you know what I remind myself of? How much it was awful and torturous to be single. Dating was not fun. Anybody else say that? All right, now some of you, you're good looking and you had it all together, right? You always smelled right, you spoke right, and you never had a booger hang out of your nose. I hate you. No, I'm just kidding. All right. The thing is some of you, it was so easy. All you had to do was show up. Not me. Anybody else with me? All right. So it's like, okay, there's one person that loves me. I am never letting them go. I told somebody today, you know what I love about my wife? Is I stand in front of a mirror and I can tell you everything I say wrong with this physical body. All right. I remember telling Donnie, our drummer, all right, he had to work today. I told him, I said, Donnie, buddy, me and Joe were joking with him one night, and we said, hey, listen, one day you're going to get old enough that you're going to sprout a back hair. You remember this? It freaked him out. He was like, I will shave it. I said, okay. When you shave it, it goes and gets seven of its friends and comes back. How many of you guys, the older you got, you realized your body's going to produce some things that you don't like? Anybody like that? How many of you ladies have said, there's some wrinkles that I don't like to see? All right. You know what I love? There was this day. Now, I'm going to tell you something personal about myself. All right. Believe it or not. There was a day I was standing in front of the mirror. And I was like, you know what? I don't like having chest hair. And I said, I bet my wife would think I was attractive if I didn't have any. So I took an hour and a half and a lot of bloody moments. And I shaved. Anybody ever done that, guys? Don't raise your hand, all right? Not only was it painful, my wife came home, I took my shirt off. It was almost like she walked in the door. I was like, whoop. Like, look at me. It was like, okay, I'm Clark Kent. Now you're home. Boom, Superman. And she looked at me and she goes, what did you do? Now, can I tell you something? That is not what you want to hear when you're trying to be impressive. She goes, what did you do? I'm like, I shaved because I thought you'd like it. And she goes, I love your chest hair. You know what I like? Everything that I see that I hate about myself, she doesn't see. Why would I ever let her go? You know, listen, man, I'm glad she's got vision problems. You know what I mean? But you know what I found? And you know what is true? True love is what? Blind. Isn't God's true love for you blind? That God looks beyond the sin and sees the Savior. Aren't you glad for that? The Bible says that though your sins are as scarlet, they can be made as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be made as wool. He cast your sins as far as the east is from the west into a sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. You know, hey, listen, if you can find someone who loves you in spite of you, don't let them go. Why would I ever want to be single again when I have to worry about what I wear? You know, I looked at my wife. We went on a date with Lincoln last night, and we're sitting there, and I said, "Are you dressing up?" She goes, "Yeah, okay." I said, "Okay, I'll go dress up." You know what she said to me? It hurt. She goes, "So which of the four shirts are you wearing?" I was like, "You're a punk." Because it's true. And some of you are just like me. It's comfortable. I feel like it fits well. It's not squeezing me. I was playing basketball this year and I put on my jersey and I was like, "I don't know, but it feels like this is an anaconda." And they're like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "Every time I take a breath, it's like sucking in. You know, it's just getting tighter and tighter. I don't know what's wrong. I think the fabric was shrinking." No, I'm just kidding. Keep your mouth shut. We're in church. You're supposed to build me up. The truth is this. Listen. It's muscles. You're right, Tammy. It'd have been more convincing had you not died laughing after saying it. Thank you. She's like, "It's muscles." Great. I believe that. No, I'm just kidding. Truth is this. I am so glad that I never have to change for somebody to get attention. So glad that there's somebody sitting at home waiting on me to get there. Anybody else say amen to that? Amen. You know what? I'm so glad that y'all let me be me. That I can sit down tonight and nobody's going to go home because all upset because I didn't stand up and preach. That I can wear the one pair of jeans that I wear. Yes, they get washed, but that's the only pair I wear. I called them. I asked them. I said, "What do I got to wear in the Philippines?" They're like, "You're going to want to take five pairs of jeans." It's like, "We got a problem. I only own one." I am so thankful that I can go to a church where I can just be who I am. And I am so thankful that I can go to a heaven when I am dead and gone, that the only requirement for admittance is based on someone else's character other than my own. Thank God for that. And the truth is this, if the church is to come alive, it's only going to be because we, which were once dead, stand up and show that we're alive and different today because of the breath of life that waved through our bodies one day and gave us hope and gave us love and gave us fulfillment. And here's the sad fact. While you and I may feel that tonight, the majority of the world has no idea what we're talking about. The majority of the world is like that little boy that sat in my office and said, "There's no reason for me to believe in him." And you know what I told him? Same thing I'll tell you. Let me be the reason you do. Watch me and let me show you that he's worth believing in. You say, "What are you saying?" I'm saying this. I believe God is so real that if I will just be who he has called me to be, then my life and your life and my light and your light can save the world in Jesus' name. Do you believe that tonight? So live your life on purpose. Love on purpose. Love with purpose. Set the destination, goals of where you're supposed to go. And then start the journey that God is going to take you on to get there. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes tonight? I do thank you for your faithfulness. But how many of you tonight, maybe you're the one sitting here saying, "You know what? I need to feel alive again. I need to feel like I matter again. I need to feel like I'm loved again." Now, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if that is you, can you just slip your hand up? Not because we're coming to you. And not because I'm going to make you come to me. I will not ask you to move and I won't move towards you. We will not embarrass you. But I want to know how to love you. And I can't love you unless you show me what's missing. Is that okay? So in this moment, how many of you are here saying, "I need life again because I am not living"? Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. Can I tell you this? You must seek the kingdom first. You must seek who he is, not who he is in your church. And not who he is to the rest of the world. Who is God to you? That is the most life-changing question you can answer today. Who is God to you? Because can I tell you this? Jesus said, if it came down to the 90 and 9 or the one that's lost, I will leave the 90 and 9 and I will find the one. You know what that tells me? He wants an intimate, personal relationship with you. He wants to show you who he is to you. He wants to be your God and he wants you to be his son and daughter. So tonight, you got to take that verse in Matthew where it says, seek first the kingdom of God and then all things will be added to you. Start your journey by knowing where your destination is going to end. Can I tell you, if you're a child of God, where that is? In heaven one day. And if your destination is heaven as a child of God, then your life should be spent on a journey heading in that direction. And every time you love somebody, and every time you grow in your faith, you get closer and closer to what it's going to be like when you get on vacation. Now, how many of you are here tonight and you say, you know what, Brother Josh, I know the love that I have, but I need to share it. I want to be like Ezekiel. I want to see people coming back to life through the testimony, through the job, through the marriage, through the home, through the church, through my faith. May people be drawn to him. Anybody say, you know what, that passion is burning deep in my chest tonight. Would you slip your hand up saying that is me? It's burning deep in my chest. Hey, can I tell you this? You know how that starts. Let's hear your story. What has God done for you? What has God brought you out of? What has God delivered you from? What miracles have you seen today? Hey, when was it that God last showed up and showed off in your life? Can I hear about that? When's the last time that you had no idea how it was going to work out, and yet somehow, without you having to do it, God came through? Tell me that story. Why? Because your story is his story. And the things that you have seen God do may just be the thing that I need to hear that God can do. And when you tell me what you have seen him do, it may give me hope that if he can do it for you, he'll do it for me too. Church, I love you. But can we just be a people who are exactly who we are? Not a people who are what we think people want us to be. I am who I am, all because of Jesus. And if that is the truth, then let me tell you how he made me who I am today. You want to join me on that journey? Stand with me. Grab somebody's hand. Let's close in prayer. Church, we love you. We love you dearly. For those of you that are new to us, get ready. Get ready. We're going to try our best to love you in a way you've probably never been loved. We're going to do our best. We're going to accept you just like you are, without judgment. I told somebody sitting across my desk today, there's nothing you can tell me that will make me think less of you. Not one thing. And I said, you don't know that to be true, but get to know me and you will find it is very true. Because you know why? There's enough about me that's scary that you really can't scare me. Anybody else say, that's me too? There's enough that I've messed up that your mistakes don't overtake those. Truth is, as I have found, that God's love and God's grace are so powerful that they can change what we think is the worst into the most powerful thing on the face of the planet. So the more broken you are, the more hope I see. All right? Some people try to convince me how bad they are. Anybody else get that? You ever have that person that tries to push you away? I am so weird that the more you talk, the more I fall in love with you. You're like, well, I'm going to push him away. I'm going to try to be mean to him. Oh, I'm going to come after you. And I'm going to do it first on my knees, because you know why? You're powerless against my prayers. And then I'm going to do it second with the way I love and the way I act. You know why? Because I know that if your story is terrible, it can become very powerful that quick. Why? Because Jesus changes you just like that. He says, anyone that comes to me, I will no wise cast out. How quick does it take for God to change your life? Yeah, think about it. When you go from this life to that life, the Bible says in the moment and the twinkling of an eye, for those of you that do not know this, if you'll look at my fingers and you'll focus on the front, this is scientifically proven. All right? This is where I'm smart, YouTube. All right? Look at that finger. Everybody got it? When I say go, you're going to take your eyes off of that finger into that finger. You ready? All right? You got it? You're looking at this finger. All right? If I were to show you independently the next finger you're going to be looking at, you would think I was slipping you off. So I'm not going to do that. All right? So we understand where we're going. Okay? Ready? Get focused. Focus. Ready? On your mark, get set, go. How fast did that take? Not long at all. You know what science says? The twinkle of your eye, put in human terms, means that somewhere in between, because it can't be measured, the time it took your eyes to get from here to there, that's where the twinkle is. And Jesus says, when I call you home, that mortal body will be changed that fast. Now, here's the thing. I think before God calls you home, the moment of salvation is that quick. The moment of change is that fast. It is changed based on what your determination is, by God's character, not your conduct. Thank Jesus for that. Let's pray. God, I love you and I thank you for the day that you've given us. God, it's a wonderful day, any day that I can spend near you and your people. And God, I just know this to be true, that this is not the only day that you're going to create. That every day is a good day because you are a good God. So God, I pray that you'll do something for us. That you'll keep it fresh in our mind. That in our weakness, you are made strong. That where we are not, you are. And what we are not, you are. What we can't understand, you do. And what we can't control, you've already been in control of. So God, help us to live out the power to shine the light that you are trying to shine through our lives today. May we be bold. May we be courageous. And may we see dead lives coming back to life all around us as we go our separate ways. Remind us every day of who you are. And may we see people drawn to you as a result. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. And all God's people say,